Revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of One Life. Find out how to build your financial.
It's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little darling, the smile's returning to their faces. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, sun, sun.
Since it's been clear.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, it's all right.
Welcome to the Cox and Kerr Radio Show. It's a beautiful sunshiny day. We've come out of some rain, so we thought we'd let the sun come. Of course, we're more interested in a different kind of sun on the Cox and Kerr Show, the one spelled S-O-N. And we've got a few guests on today, and we're excited to be here. And we're running on the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, today, because we haven't had much sleep, but he'll get us through. And he'll get you through if you turn to him. Welcome. Are you there, Mr. Murphy? Can you hear me, Michael?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
I'll be here for 30, 40 minutes.
Michael would like to be the co-host. Tell that. Tim, you don't have room for two? Well, tell Tim to take a vacation.
Oh, I thought I was filling in for Tim.
Hang on, Harry. We usually don't have too many volunteers in Tennessee. But it looks like we do today. I'll let them sort it out. Okay, let one of them come on. Well, all right. Hey, Harry. Henry?
Yes, I'm here.
Henry Groover. I feel like I'm with one of the higher-ups, Henry, when I'm with you. I know you don't like to be so loftily acclaimed, but ladies and gentlemen, we have Henry Groover on today, in addition to being the father of at least 13 children. Most of them have turned out pretty good, right, Henry?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
That's one blessing. And Henry was given a ministry that only those who have been let out of our mental institutions too soon do, and that's to walk and pray for areas of our world, and somehow at an age pushing, I know he's over 39, he's walked around countries like England and Ireland and Japan and cities in the United States, and probably things I don't even know about yet. But along the way, Henry's always had interesting interactions with God's creatures on earth, and miraculous protection and miraculous healing for those he comes in contact with. Henry, I don't know, is that a good introduction or not?
Well, that'll do.
Well, you sound just like you did when you were 39. What's the secret?
Well, I just stay 39. Not just don't have birthdays.
Get stuck like my wife did. Well, that's great. Well, I haven't talked to you in a couple of years, and I'm too poor to pay attention. So, can you kind of the last time I talked to you, we talked about the island in Japan that was covered in snakes, or somewhere in the Far East. Yeah. That had a miraculous deliverance. But what's going on lately in your life?
Well, since that last September, I was over in Taiwan and did ministry Taipei and east of Taipei and west of Taipei and north, and we're ready to go south, and had scheduled for south for a few days. And my scheduler and interpreter said, we're not going south. There's a plague taking place with malaria, the most malaria on the face, the worst malaria on the face of the earth. And I don't want you dying on me. I says, well, what's that? And he said, well, that mosquito bites you down there. You got 24 hours, and you're burning up with fever and in horrible pain that they have nothing for the fever or the pain. And within 4 days, you die because of the torment.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, that's mean, all right. And he says, so I don't want to take you down there and lose you. And I said, George, I refuse to give my life for a stinking mosquito.
So even Henry Groover has limits as to where he will, what kind of fiery furnace he will walk into.
Well, that's right. The Lord has set me up, you know, and put me where he wants me and where people are hurting. And,
yeah.
When you have that kind of hurting, you better go or don't ask the Lord to do it. And so he said to me, my interpreter said, well, aren't you scared? And I says, no, I'm not scared of a mosquito. If that crazy thing bites me, it'll die. And, sucking the blood of Jesus, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, mosquito, yeah, he gets a hold of your blood, he's in trouble.
He's done for, it's lethal. I believe that.
unless maybe he's a believer mosquito, who knows?
Oh, yeah, Genesis chapter 1, way back in the beginning of the Bible, verse 26 and 28, the Lord gives us dominion over all these creatures and everything that creeps and crawls and flies across the earth and swims in the waters. So, hey, you know, I'm gonna take that seriously. I'm not going to let a dumb mosquito kill me.
Well, I know when they built the canal, the Panama Canal, they lost thousands and thousands, had to, the French quit after a few hundred, few thousand deaths, I guess. So it is can be a deadly a little blood infection in your red blood cells, and sounds
You're
like it's painful
it,
too. But hey, we're at a time in our human history where malaria is kind of the least of our problems. What do you think? I mean, we've got the Zika virus storming up through the continent of South America, and then going through the Caribbean, and of course, I'm sure since the Olympics have just finished, we'll spread it some more places.
I'm sure that was kind of foolish to put them over there, I think. But
oh well, look here, Harry just handed me the local newspaper here, and we had a Zika virus confirmed in Knox County last month. So,
oh, great.
And we thought we were protected by these mountains. But, all things said, it's nice to know that we have a son that loved us so much that he gave his life to not only give us victory over these problems in this life, but life everlasting in the life to come, because at some point we will all get a chance to stop living in the flesh, and then we'll see who's who.
Amen. We sure will. And that's what we better get busy on right there.
Yeah.
Get out of the flesh and get in the spirit. If you'll get in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, there we have it, you know, and that's the only antidote, really, for holiness and righteousness, is get out of the flesh.
Well, and a good idea for men who, when they see the pretty girl walking down the street, is to say the Bible verse, "No flesh shall inherit the kingdom of God," and kind of take your mind off of that distraction. David should have tried that verse. But
he should have stayed battling. He went out to war with his soldiers when he stayed home.
That's when he got in trouble. He was distracted by
Bathsheba.
He should have fast forwarded and thought, well, you know, another 60 years, she won't look like that. But anyways, do we have a Tim on the line?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
What say you, Tim?
Oh, I'm enjoying the banter there. I believe Henry has you outgunned, but. I'm going to try to help you out a little bit.
That's for sure. I'm not a prayer walker. I'm a prayer talker. But
that I was telling my buddy Norm about that island of snakes earlier today, and he got to hear you talking about it when you introduced it. Henry, we've been talking. We talked a few weeks ago with Hands of Hope, or Hands of Help Ministries, Gino Schmidt, who works with Michael Baldea, who was the grandson of Dimitri Dudeman. And we talked about Dimitri's dreams and visions. And when I was looking you up earlier today to get some more background, I saw that there was actually a combo show that was done somewhere where they discussed your visions along with Dimitri's. And, of course, I knew from hearing both that they were very similar, but they weren't quite alike. And I think your emphasis was more on the fact that Russia was going to attack us. And until recently, I wouldn't have thought that possible. If you would you walk us through your vision for America in the last days and what's been going on that you've seen?
Well, I'll tell you, there have been so many fulfillments. A good portion of that is history already now, you know. We're in trouble. We've been letting down our weapons. If you read the newspaper a couple of weeks ago, they said that our defense of our nation is poorer than it was pre-World War II, before we even entered the war or thought about it. Well, I'll guarantee you, it is definitely poor. It's poorer in many ways, more than we realize, because you realize China is also manufacturing much of our missile parts and our defense parts. How stupid can you get?
Oh.
You know what I mean? And China, we know, signed a league with Russia that if they go to war, they'll work together. And we know North Korea is already with them, so what are we going to do, you know? I mean, I've been from Maine, Portland, Maine, all up in Belfast, Maine, all the way across to Washington, up into, all the way across Washington, Oregon, down into the Southwest this year. And I'll tell you, I've never seen so many million square feet of manufacturing facilities up for lease, empty, not operating. If we have another war, what have we got to manufacture machines with? Especially when China's already doing most of it, and other countries, Mexico, everybody else is making our merchandise.
Henry, you know, my mother in 1961 put my last put her fourth son in grade school and started writing letters to the editor in 1961 that she could see the United States was making moves to give away their sovereignty and to give away our military and to give away our independence in some sort of kumbaya goal of we are the world and we can all get along and you can trust anything and anybody and just send your enemies like $400 million of cash and a variety of currencies and not have to worry about anything. But I think history is proving that, you reap what you sow, and we have set ourselves up for failure. And I'm an optimistic sort of Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, think and grow rich person as far as positive thinking. But I'm pretty positive we've made this into a no-win scenario and maybe one that's just going to fulfill Bible prophecies faster than we could think.
Well, I think we are. We're right at the threshold of something very major. And if we don't have a better result come November than what's looking, we're in more serious trouble than ever. And dear Lord, help us. If we have four more years of people that think like Obama, we're really in hot water. And I've been watching the conversations of who's running, and I'll tell you, one sounds just like Obama. She's loving up to the Muslims. She's loving up to socialism. She's paid off Bernie Sanders and got him off her back, and he went out and bought a
lake home, a home on the lake. You know, Bernie, leave us alone. If you'll leave us alone, you can go out there and sit by the lake and
enjoy your life the rest of your days.
And realize that socialism does work.
Yep, that's right. That's right. I'll take care of it. You just go relax. Well, that's where we are. But, at least we've got one that's talking pretty good sense. And I know he has good business sense, and we definitely need somebody with business sense. So I'm just crying out and saying, Lord, maybe if we can get the one with good business sense that knows how to say you're fired, and no, maybe we'll have a reprieve for a little more time. I don't know. But if we continue with the wickedness that we're in, we're already in the thralls here of Ezekiel 38. We were just talking about the mosquito plague,
Mm-hmm.
And Ezekiel 38 is talking about God bringing Gog and Magog and chief prince of Tubal and Meshach and Moscow and Persia, Ethiopia. Persia, of course, is Iran, Ethiopia, Libya. Do you need any more understanding? Them with shield and helmet, Gomer, which is Turkey, and his bands, the house of Togomara, which is Turkey, and then Gomer, which is Germany, of the North Quarters and all his bands and many, well, good grief, you got NATO right there. A whole bunch of those are members of NATO now. And we're a member of NATO, and we have thousands of NATO troops here. And over in Pahrump, Nevada, we've got a massive base there that is a black helicopter base, all run totally by Russians, on Interstate 25 down south, about 70 miles or less from Albuquerque, you've got a massive German base there that's all German planes. Sure, they have a UN insignia on them, but they also have the German flag on them. You don't see one U.S. flag on them. A massive military base with bombers and fighters, helicopters. Come on, what are we doing,
Well, this is a strategy so we don't have to worry about being invaded. If we give them bases, they'll leave us alone, won't they?
Did they leave them alone when they brought the Trojan horse into the gate?
And this, boy, don't we? They're going to stand on their head to bring in 200,000 refugees I hear that they're trying to get Congress or blackmail Congress to do what they normally do, which is whatever the guy in charge asks for, and then he wants to be able to report to the UN in September that he's got the permission for 200,000 immigrants. And what if only 1% were terrorists out of 200,000? That's 2,000 terrorists.
Yeah.
What could 2,000 do? And there's thousands here already. I mean, it's time to get right with God, as the bumper sticker says, or repent or perish. I mean, it's kind of like when you're in the middle of a room with 1,000 knives, you kind of run out of ideas of how to protect yourself. And in the flesh, you can't. I mean, you can't have enough stored food. You can't have enough.
One Uzi, just make a circle and cut them all down.
Yeah, well.
Don't run out of bullets.
I think that only works in the movies.
Yeah.
I know.
You know.
Well, you don't have to reload, and you always get missed by all those thousands shooting at you, and you just knock hundreds of thousands of them down, you know.
Well, if you're Crocodile Dundee, you know, when he's flipping his swords all around, you just draw your gun, boom, hey, come on. Boom, shoot him down.
Indiana Jones, one bullet. But
one bullet.
I used to have some faith in that, Henry, till I played some paintball one time. And all the things that work when you're in a live fire fight, like sticking your head over the edge of a car, you get hit in the head.
Yeah.
Looking around a beam, you get hit. It's like run real quick from one object to the other. It always worked in the cowboy movies. I got hit when I did that too, so I finally realized, you know, if we're ever in a shooting war, it doesn't last long.
It doesn't last long at all with today's chemical warfare. You wipe out all the guys with a gun.
Yeah, it's yeah. For those of you who think you're going to be able to shoot your way out of this one, you better have another plan, and that's what we talk about on the Cox and Kerr Show.
Get on your knees and stay low and cry out to the Lord. Sigh and cry, as Ezekiel chapter 9 says, for the abominations that are being committed. That's what's making our nation in trouble, are the abominations. And if we sigh and cry, we'll be sealed. He's sealed in the forehead, those that sigh and cry.
Mm-hmm.
But those that didn't, their six men go forth with the slaughter weapons in their hands. Does that sound kind of like today? And utterly play old and young. And where was they to begin there in Ezekiel chapter 9? Begin at my sanctuary. You know, where's the sanctuary? Well, we call it church, don't we? That isn't just the synagogue with Hebrews. The sanctuary is a place where we go to worship God, isn't it? And, you know, across this country, I'm getting more disappointed with the church a lot, more and more, because I walk in, I'm setting up materials out in the lobby, and these young men come in, and older men. But these young men come in with their wife and their kids, and they see another young man, and they go over and say, man, what'd you think of that game last night, you know? And they're banging knuckles. Wooing, and then you get up, and before the pastor can introduce you to speak, what's he saying? What'd you think of that shot? What'd you think of that touchdown, you know? And you sit there, and you think, wait a minute. Now I understand why we're in the condition we're in. They don't have respect for the house of God or the sanctuary, and that's why he says, begin at the sanctuary with the ancients, the older ones. So it's not good, is it? Ezekiel's pretty tough on the church, you know.
Well, and that's always a strategy in people control. If you look at, say, a fictional book like 1984, which is just about beyond true, is a great way to distract the people is to have them so involved with a variety of things, and one of those is sporting events, and that goes all the way back to the Roman gladiators. When the Senate was in trouble in Rome, they'd say, hey, let's double up on the schedule. Let's get some more gladiating going on in there, and the people won't have time to worry about what we're doing behind their backs. And it's incredible how history repeats itself, but we certainly are in a time that exceeds anything any governments have ever had as far as tools to control the people, be it the media, the mesmerizing media, the mesmerizing movies, the mesmerizing pharmaceutical soup that we're swimming in this country. And we worry about Muslims, but a lot of them have better morals than what's going on in Christendom as far as not being into pornography and other, you know, sins that the so-called Christians are all over.
Chris?
Yeah.
And Henry, if you guys talk about Ezekiel there and the church, I think we've seen some of the oldest churches in history and what's happened to them recently in Syria.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the oldest bodies of Christ, in other words, have been there since the time Christ walked the earth. There's been Christians in that area, and they've been a pretty good numbers, and they've been protected by the regime that was in there, but we're backing the ones that are beheading them.
That's right. That's right.
Are we God's judgment on the church? Is America God's judgment on the world?
Brother, I'll tell you, we've got it all right. I mean, in Ezekiel 38, he talks about the invasion of Israel, and I believe with all my heart the invasion of America is in there as well, because they're all together, all these nations are together, ready to go and attack Israel. It says in verse 9 of Ezekiel 38, it names all the nations, tells them to build their weapons, and it says in the latter years this will happen, in verse 8, and then verse 9, you will ascend and come like a storm, you shall be like a cloud to cover the land, many people with you. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time, now wait a minute, they're like a cloud coming down on Israel, right, from Russia, Gomer, and Gog, and Magog, and Meshech, Tubal, they're all coming from up above, coming down on Israel.
Yeah.
At the same time that you will say, let us go up to the walled, at the same time you will say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Now, wait a minute. From any of these countries named, to go up, you're not going to Israel. You're going down south. Let us go up to the land of unwalled villages. There's only one I know of. That's the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Europe is full of old walls and hedgerows and thorn bushes and everything. And it says, I will go to them that are at rest. I've been traveling 55 nations of the earth, and I'll tell you what, I come back home to America to rest, to be safe. Them that dwell safely, all of them, dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. You jump on your car here in Seattle and drive all the way across the United States clear to Portland, Maine, or New York City, and the only thing you got is an occasional toll to pay. That's not bad, you know. And then they're going to go to take a spoil, a prey, to turn your hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. Well, Israel's been desolate. It's now inhabited, yeah, but look at this. Upon the people that have gathered out of the nations, well, Israel has, only Jews, though, and Muslims, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the middle of the land? Wait a minute, where's the cattle? Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say to you, are you come to take a spoil? Have you gathered your company to take a prey, to carry away gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? I'm sorry, if you go from Tucumcari, New Mexico, up through the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma, you will find millions millions of head of cattle in feedlots all across there. And then you finish that, and what do you find in Kansas? You find wheat. What do you find in Illinois, Nebraska, Iowa,
corn.
Indiana? You find corn. Corn and soybean. Well, that's what they're coming for, gold, cattle, and corn that dwells in the middle of the land. All of that is up through the heart of America. You'll come from your place out of the north parts. Well, sorry, but Russia's up over the north, and many people with you, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Well, horses are a type of battle weapons, aren't they? Riding weapons. And you shall come up against my people of Israel. Now he's talking about like a cloud to cover the land. I have been holding on to this for years, that this is the difference. They've got to knock America out because we're the last bastion of liberty. We're the last stronghold of freedom of people, of the people, for the people, by the people. Europe's already fallen so heavily into socialism. Asia's into socialism. Where are we going? Well, America's the only one that kind of still has a little bit of the people, for the people, by the people. We don't have very much anymore. We're losing it more all the time. But we still have that, and we don't have the walls and the gates, and we still kind of dwell safely still. That's the only thing I can see there.
Well, Henry, wouldn't our media warn us if there was any problem on the horizon to fend it off? Wouldn't CNN and Fox and MSNBC and MSLSD all tell us to beware and to prevent something like this from happening? It's like we really have been lulled into a deep sleep, a stupor. It's incredible to see how dumbed down we've become in one generation.
That's well, sure.
What you're saying there, could America's current condition be as a result of a great deception, say, that was revealed in Revelation?
Absolutely.
He'd be deceiving us on purpose based on that?
Oh, yeah. They've got to because, you know, when you take away the liberty of the people and you go to the extreme that you'll neither be able to buy or sell except you take the mark, I mean, that's pretty heavy control, isn't it? And that means that they have the ability to watch everything you buy and everything you sell. Now, could Hitler have done that? No, he didn't have it. Now we have it. Everything you do is kept on computer, and they know exactly what you're bought and what you're selling. If you have a credit card, you don't pay cash. And that's why they're trying to get rid of cash, because
the war on cash.
Fully controlled. Oh, the war on cash, amen, because that's the only way they can bring it to the point of you can't buy or sell except you take the mark. But I love that, you know, because the Lord precludes that. He puts a seal upon the head of them that sigh and cry on their forehead. So God is going to seal, and I believe we're in the season of God sealing in the forehead the people that are sighing and crying now. And in the book of Revelation, before that angel pours out that horrible vial, he says, hold back the four winds of the heavens. Why? Why would you hold back the four winds of the heavens? When I sit on the Looking Glass Fleet, which was the number one defense center that rode for 30 years, random flights up in the air and had two state-of-the-art fighter planes escorting it. When I sit on that with General Baker in command, I asked them, I said, What would happen with nuclear blasts if the wind could not blow? And the number one nuclear specialist of the United States of America at his console on that looking glass, big jet, he said, "Sir, may I address that?" I said, "Absolutely." He says, "Well, number one," he says, "we never have had anything in history where the wind could not blow." And I said, "Well, you're going to, because God is in control of it." He says, "Well, how is that? How do you even know or think such a thing?" And so I took him to Revelation and said, "What do you do with this? Hold back the four winds of the heavens." And the number one weather specialist on that plane said, "Sir, where are you reading that from? I'm a student of the Bible. I've never seen that." And I brought him into the scriptures here in Revelation. And he said, "Well, I'll be. I never thought about that." I said, "Well, there's three places in the Bible that talk about holding back the four winds of the heavens. Ezekiel, with a valley of dry bones, he prophesied what? To the four winds of the heavens to come and bring breath into this great army. So it's going to take the four winds to bring breath, and the four winds are going to bring death. So there's breath and life in the winds." And so the nuclear specialist said, "I'll tell you this." He said, "That's Revelation chapter 7, if you got your Bible, after these things." So that's pretty early in Revelation. "Hold back the four winds of the heavens until we have sealed," in verse 3, "till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So there's Ezekiel chapter 9. And so he's sealing them. And you say, "Well, that's Israel. That's Israel. They sealed 144,000. 12,000 of each of the tribes of Israel." Well, that's true too. But you know what? What do you do when you go on in chapter 7 here to verse 14? And here is of chapter 7, rather, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving in verse 12, and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are come before the throne of God and serve him day and night and in his temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Well, who is that great number that no man could number that come up out of tribulation? I don't know. It says that in verse 9 here of Revelation 7. Well, in my raising, I was taught that the rapture is going to take place by the end of the fifth chapter of Revelation, because the church is not mentioned anymore. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to argue when the Lord is coming, but I have to read on, because why did he not stop the book of Revelation right there in chapter 5 or here in 7 when he takes care of 144,000 of Israel? Why didn't he just stop right there? Why does he go on to say in verse 9, "a great multitude, small and great in number, that no man could number"? Woo! I don't know, but I know one thing. In Daniel, he certainly went on, and he went on talking. And he saw things, and then he was told to close up the book because it wasn't time. That would be revealed in the end time. So I think we're coming to a time when God is getting ready to do some things that we don't understand. we don't really understand. But the only way I know to assure ourselves that we are going to be in the right place at the right time and make it through all this is in chapter 12 of Daniel. I mean, that's heading to the end, isn't it? That's before God says, close up the book and don't write that.
Mm-hmm.
What he says here in verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And then he says, but Daniel, close up the words and seal them and don't write that. So, hey, who's going to shine with the brightness of the firmament and shine with the brightness of the sun forever and ever? Well, it says it very clearly, those that are wise and lead many to righteousness. Well, who's doing that? I say the church is doing that. I say the body of Christ is either doing it. Israel isn't doing it, are they? Is Israel known for evangelizing the world? Show me. I'd like to see where Israel's paying for the gospel to be given to the whole world, because Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world, and then shall the end come. And then in chapter 25, it's not the end of it. He says, and then the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And he tells how that the wise took oil with them, didn't they? But the foolish just took their lamps with what oil they had. And what happened? Their oil, when they all slumbered and slept. I tell you, the way the church is going today, I wonder if we're not all slumbering and sleeping right now. It's kind of hard to pick up the church.
I tell you, there's too many of them are. I have to break in here real quick and say you're listening to WBCR Truth Radio, 1470 AM, and this is the Cox and Kerr Show every second and fourth Monday of the month. And our guest is Henry Gruber with Joyful Sound Ministries. And continue, Henry.
Can you give out your contact information while we're interrupting our train of thought here?
Yeah, if they want to contact us, they can over website of joyfulsoundministries.com, or just punch in Henry Gruber, and I'm all over the web, and they can find, and then they can find Joyful Sound Ministries. And if they want to order materials of what I'm talking about, they can order them over it, and it'll go to our office. And if they just make a donation, that's how we send out material, strictly on a donation. We don't put a mm-hmm. price on our books, CDs, or DVDs, or any of our materials. It's a donation basis. They can go on PayPal and make a donation, and we'll get it sent out to you. And or Post Office Box 144, P.O. 144, Woodbine, W-O-D, B as in boy, I-N-E, Woodbine, Iowa, 51579, Woodbine, Iowa, 51579, Joyful Sound Ministries. And it'll get to us and say, well, you mentioned some prophecy things here or something. Do you have actual videos or DVDs? What do you have, books? Yeah, I have 3 books. I have a book called The Visions of a Walker that has all the visions in it that I have, plus Valdez vision and George Washington's vision in Valley Forge. And you read those, and I was just with a man last night in the meeting, and he says, you know, I just got through rereading your visions book again. And he said to me, he said, do you realize how close we are to the things you saw and Valdez saw? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm living what I'm living, and I'm going 11 months of the year on the road in the air, all over the world, trying to blow the trumpet and sound the alarm to the people. I'm trying to redeem the time, because I think our time is running out quickly.
You're a watchman on the wall, Henry.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Henry. Our time is short. When I was perusing the search on you, I came across you and Ron Wyatt.
He was a local Tennessee boy here and has a museum down in Smyrna, I believe it is, around there. Tennessee, somewhere close to Nashville. Something that has always fascinated me was his report on finding the Ark of the Covenant.
Absolutely.
And it made, you know, to hear the tale, and if you know it well, I'd like for you to cover that with us for a minute, because I just think that is something so important in
yes,
our lives, to, as a vision to see just how perfectly God's word was fulfilled in that.
Oh, I tell you, that's the reason I wrote the book, The Rebirth of Judah versus the Church Glorious, comparing what's going on in Israel in the natural to the spirit, the church, the spiritual, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46. Because God said through Paul there, after 45 verses talking about the natural all the way to the celestial and the terrestrial of the heavens, then he says, however, that which was first is not spiritual, but that which is natural. And God says back there in Exodus, when he told Moses to build, to make that Ark of the Covenant, and he said, and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat of all things spoken by the law and the prophets. Well, I'll tell you what, that's pretty potent in my opinion. And that Ark of the Covenant is a vital role. And the very fact of where Ron Wyatt found it, I will give no archaeologist, no nuclear physicist, or no missile or rocket scientist, or no great mathematician, I will not give one man, including Einstein or anybody, the credit for thinking up where Ron found that Ark of the Covenant. Directly under the center cross hole of where Jesus was crucified. Now you try to think that one up. 2,600 years later, Ron Wyatt finds it. 2,000 years ago, that Ark of the Covenant was put into that place. And then, you know, it was built 4,500 years ago. Then it was put into that chamber where Ron found it. And then Jesus comes down and he is crucified. The rock cracks. The earth is rent in Matthew 27. And the Roman soldier pierces the side of Jesus and blood and water flow out. Flow down through that crack onto the sarcophagus, or like a crypt, that held the Ark of the Covenant that had a crack right in the middle of it. And Ron took samples off of that top of that covering of that, where the crack was, and it was human blood that had the chromosomes to prove it had an earthly mother and an earthly
a non-earthly
male
father.
Factor, but no evidence whatsoever of a father. Now you think about that. That's potent when you come down to the point where there's no evidence of an earthly father, no chromosomes. It's the only blood on the face of the earth that exists that has no chromosomes for an earthly father. Well, we know the Father in heaven is the Father, and he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But you look at that. And then in Psalms 85, they're crying out, when will you restore glory to the land? And when? And it talks about very clearly, you can read the words right there in Psalms 85, that it shall lead us in truth, shall spring out of the earth. Mercy and truth, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. People, you can't get any clearer than that about Jesus, the way, the life, and the truth.
Amen.
And it's powerful, you know, that Psalms 85, and shall lead us in the way of his steps. But righteousness and mercy and truth shall shall, I got to read it here, mercy and truth are met together. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. When his blood went down on that mercy seat, and you'll find in the scriptures that only on the east side of the mercy seat was the priest, the high priest, allowed to sprinkle the blood. What was going to go on the other side of the mercy seat? Only the blood of Jesus.
Wow.
All right. Blood of an animal versus, and all of that's in the scriptures. It's in my teaching called the Ark of the Covenant.
Wow, that makes me want to shout.
The Ark of the Covenant teaching. Yeah, we'll send it out to you. I tell you, people, Ron Wyatt, I traveled all over the world with Ron, and I've got a large collection of his presentations, but I also had to absorb the critics, the lawyers, the religious people, the archaeologists that bashed away on him, and it drove me to my knees. And I cried out to God, and as I cried out to God, he led me to these scriptures. And I began showing them to Ron, and Ron Wyatt said, Henry, you have the best biblical foundation for my discoveries I've ever seen. And shortly after that, of course, you know, the Lord took Ron Wyatt home. And Richard Reeves now is the president of Wyatt Archaeological Research, and I honestly don't think Richard Reeves believes the blood went on the mercy seat, because I believe Richard Reeves really leans more toward Ellen G. White's teachings of the Seventh-day Adventists. And Ellen G. White had an angel come to her in the latter part of 1898, I think it's written in her books, and said to her, the blood has just been applied on the mercy seat. Well, now, wait a minute. Ron Wyatt comes along and finds that the blood went on the mercy seat when they pierced the side of Jesus. But Ellen G. White bases all of her prophetic patriots and prophets' teachings on the fact of 1898. That's when it all begins, the countdown begins. So Richard Reeves is going to have to completely renounce Seventh-day Adventism, I'm afraid, or else he cannot truly be the president of Wyatt Archaeological Research. And I voiced that to his face. He doesn't like me very well. He the first thing he did was went about to write me a registered letter forbidding me to ever mention any of this, accusing me of fabricating all this. I sent him copies of videos of Ron Wyatt saying everything I said. And I said, Richard Reeves, if you want to deny this, this is your problem. You are president of an organization that a man founded, and you're going to call him a liar now? Shame on you, brother. Shame on you. Shame on you.
I guess you don't hear that much about that anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's not talking
up there, and it's really a shame. And I've been there. I've met the man and read his book, and I kind of have to kind of agree with you about that, Henry. I really do, unfortunately.
It's sad. It's so sad. Mary Ellen, Ron Wyatt's wife, she was Assembly of God. I don't know if you know that. And Richard Reeves won her over. She told me that right of her own mouth, right face to face. She told me. And Richard Reeves won her over to Seventh-day Adventism. Now, don't tell me Richard Reeves is not a Seventh-day Adventist if he's getting people to become Seventh-day Adventists. That's my complaint to Richard. And I said, Richard, and the first thing you attack is that the blood did not go on the mercy seat. You attack that you're the one that had the microscope, that these platelets or something you did, there was not. And I'll tell you what, I was in Jerusalem, and Ron took that to a laboratory in Jerusalem, in Germany, and in America. That blood has been analyzed. And I sit right by Demas Shakarian and witnessed a document specialist of every one of those lab reports. I witnessed him checking out those lab reports with magnifying glasses. with his logbooks of the laboratories, the signatures, the numbers, the certificates. I am an eyewitness of that, and I'll take that to my grave and never renounce it.
Well, why has that not been recovered or verified?
It was a blue three-ring loose-leaf folder.
Why has that not been verified?
I don't think it's time yet. I don't think it's time yet. You know why? Because if you read Psalms 85, they're asking, when will your glory be revealed? His glory hasn't been revealed yet. Truth has to spring out of the earth, which it has, and now it's going to take, first of all, faith to believe it. And this is the biggest difficulty people have, is believing Ron's, because they say he's the world's biggest liar. But I want to tell you, as I said a while ago, I give no man credit for the intelligence of discovering the Ark of the Covenant directly under the center crosshole. I give no man the intelligence for even thinking that up. But when I read Hebrews chapter 9, I tell you, it's all there. It's there in black and white about the Ark of the Covenant, the sacrificial thing, the death of the testator. All of that is there so vividly clear. It's powerful. It's powerful. It is revealed from the Word of God, but it has not yet sprung out of the earth, and that is yet to be fulfilled. But it's interesting, in 1985 is when that truth sprung out of the earth from Ron Wyatt of the Ark of the Covenant.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Henry, could it be? Could it be any other way that God fulfill the blood on the mercy seat exactly as prescribed? That he would have?
No way.
When you think about it, could it have been any other way or any place else that that blood wouldn't get on there and fulfill that so completely?
I've had theologians that were many years teachers in theological seminaries get up in meetings when I was sharing that and say, young man, you don't know what you're talking about. I've taught ancient biblical history and blah, 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 and they go on. And I've asked them, would you just sit down, please, and let me finish. Now, if your student did to you what you just did, would you appreciate it? Well, no. I said, let me finish my presentation of the biblical foundation of this, and then we'll talk about it. I want to tell you, every theologian that will listen to the biblical foundation that I have laid down, every one of those theologians back off and say, Henry, I've never seen this before. I cannot refute it anymore. It is biblically sound what you've given.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if it isn't in the Bible, brothers, I don't want anything to do with it. I love the Word of God. I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament. I spend hours and hours and hours every week and many times, many nights, night after night, waking up just reading the Word and communing with my precious Lord.
Hey, Henry.
The living book, yes.
Yeah, we're on the website, and you can give that out again. It's Joy.
Joyful Sound.
Joyful Sound
Ministries.
And we're trying to find the book. We find a list of index of pages for the Ark of the Covenant, but we can't find the book on the website. I don't know if it's on there or not right now.
Okay, try it under the Rebirth of Judah versus the Church Glorious. The Rebirth of Judah. Check that in. It'll come up.
The Rebirth of Judah versus...
versus the Church Glorious.
I've got to have that.
Yeah, glorious. It's comparing the natural with the spiritual, 1 Corinthians 15:46. The first has to be fulfilled, which is the natural. Israel is the timetable in the natural. It's the calendar in the natural, brothers. And then the church is the calendar in the spiritual. That's from Acts chapter 2 forward. And so you see, as Israel comes forth in Ezekiel Zechariah chapter 12 takes place. Boy, that is a powerful chapter. And as that takes place, Then I'll tell you what. And when they go into mourning, the rest of chapter 12, 13, what happens in chapter 14? Then the Lord comes back and his feet touch foot on the Mount of Olives, and that mountain splits, and he walks right back into Jerusalem on the very cobblestone walk, which is 12 feet underneath that eastern gate. I've been on it. Ron Wyatt excavated down under the eastern gate, and the very path and the very foundation of that eastern gate is right down under the present one. And he's going to walk right back. Now, the Muslims have put a graveyard in front of that gate because they said if he's a holy man, he will be defiled to go through that. And they put and sealed that eastern gate with all kinds of human excrement and defilements. They don't even read the Bible. The Bible says it's going to split to the north and the south, and he's going to go right through on the very path. Those graves of those Muslims are going to fly to the right and the left. That there's going to be a split down through that eastern gate of all that defilement material. It's going to split one way and the other, and Jesus is going to walk right back into Jerusalem on the very steps that he walked out on.
Enter your breath of fresh air in a dark world, I have to tell you. It's lovely to have you. You're so gracious to come and visit with us. And, Chris,
well, I'm just glad to hear that you're busy as a beaver. traveling, I know you're 39, but at some point it gets tougher. But I was wondering if you could take us out with a word of prayer, Henry, because we kind of feel like there's pressure on a lot of the community out here, the believers, the pressure on the whole human. All of the world is in the valley of decision right now, and the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So if you could take us out with a prayer of mission that we could carry on what we need to be doing with the hours, days, and minutes we have left.
Absolutely. Precious Father in heaven, we love you with all our hearts. We praise you with everything within us. We thank you so much for what you did in emptying heaven of its most precious and priceless possession, Jesus. And we thank you that, Jesus, that you were willing, that you said, not my will, but yours be done, and you went through with it, Lord, in that garden and all the way to Calvary and the grave. And I thank you for it, Jesus. Now, Lamb of God, I just claim that precious blood, body, mind, and spirit that Jesus gave, his name which was blasphemed, his name which was degraded and cursed and mocked. I just claim that precious name, Jesus, over every listener. And I ask, Lamb of God, that the words that have been spoken today, that they will be sealed in individuals' hearts. And Lord, that they'll just get a hold of us in Woodbine, Iowa, or on the computer, Lord, and they'll get these truths established in their heart, because they're anchors for their souls in these troubled times. And Lord, you said you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I ask that the truth will spring out of the earth. I ask, Lord, that your truth will come up into the hearts of your people, and they will love the truth and embrace it, even if it's to their own wounding, that they're willing to keep embracing the truth and holding to it. Now bless these brothers, Lord, and bless this program, and bless the station that it's being broadcast from, and the television and the computer communications, so that there's no glitches or anything wiped out or erased that should be on. And just seal it all with your precious Holy Spirit of promise. And be with my brothers and each one listening now, Lord, until we all meet together before your glorious throne on the streets of gold. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Henry. I always enjoy hearing you pray.
I do a lot of that.
it's time. It's time to sigh and cry, and be ready for the kingdom come. God bless you, Henry.
Thank you. Lord.
Night, everybody.
Underground and not allowed any visitors, supposedly, if you believe that.
Which is always the way that it is.